I said, I need to get to church early, and I need to get into the presence and find out what he wants to speak. I don't know about you, but I know the only thing that keeps me going is a word from the Lord. We need a word. How many of you know that there's times that you've been pressing? Been trying to force some things. You know how we get. We try to force it. You know, that's my job. That's my job. So you call that place like 13 times just for them leaving a message. Can you just let them know Marty called? Well, didn't you just call about 10 minutes ago? Yeah, I'm just making sure you got the message. So we press and we press and we press, and sometimes things just don't happen. But we got to trust God. Amen. We got to trust God. And, you know, when I started doing the playlist today, I said, Lord, I just need something that's going to get me through. It's not going to get me to the end. It's just going to get me through. It's not going to get me to the top. It's just going to get me through. It may not move me any further than I am, but it's going to get me through. Amen? Amen? So when I heard these songs, you know, I love the Binions. They have such an anointed prophetic ministry of worship. And I began to listen to it, and I knew that this was it. I mean, you know that when, you know, even though it was raining, did you notice today that in the middle of the day it was nice and dark? Yes. You know, when you were in school, some of y'all were looking out the windows all day long. Shouldn't have been, but you were. Or if you're at work and you have windows and you're looking out like, wish I was at home under the covers. Oh, yeah, it's under the covers. But I knew that there was something stirring in the atmosphere. I knew there was something that was opposing his people. I knew there was something trying to stop the very move that God has spoken about. Amen. I knew there was something that was opposing the very word that you have received. And I know that there's something in the atmosphere trying to get you to doubt the very word. Amen. I said, Lord, it just looks dark outside. Yes. It looks like it's going to get bad. He says, how do you think Peter felt when he was in the boat? See, they had a reason to be scared. Amen. See, the fishermen in those days, when they would see an apparition, a ghost, that meant it was a fisherman that had drowned, had perished, and the boats have gone down. So it was, I guess, tradition, if you would say. Okay, superstition. If they were to see a ghost, then that meant they're the ones that are going down next. That's why they were scared. That's why they didn't perceive it to be Jesus. So I said, Lord, there's something that is brewing. There's something that is coming to oppose the body of Christ. He says, that's why I sent my word first. That's why I sent the word first. To encourage you through. See, it wasn't until Peter perceived, Lord, is that you? Watch the word. It is I. Come. Got the word. Started walking in something he had never walked in before. Had never done in his entire life. Began to walk on water. Shoot. But the storm was still there. But he did something because the word went forth first. But when he took his eyes off of the word, he began to sink. Many people say, well, Peter, why'd you give up? Why'd you start looking at your circumstances? Do you understand that it was like a hurricane? Many of the people that live down in the coastal regions when a hurricane is coming, guess what they do? They hightail it out of there. Peter said, not me. If that's you, God, I'm walking on water. We can't get the body of believers to be like Peter. And walk towards him. Where the others of the church crowded inside a boat. They cowardly stayed in the boat. But it just took one to go towards Jesus. And that one turned that whole storm around and got him to the destination. I'm trying to tell you that God is just looking for one. Are you the one that he's going to use to get others that are cowardly in the boat to the destination, even though the storm is raging on? Now, your storm can be many different things. Your storm can be something that is physical, emotional. It can be monetary. It can be your family members. It can be your very ministry. It can be your marriage. It can be so many different storms in your life, but you've got to stay focused on the Word. He is the living Word. And if you stay focused on it and don't take your eyes off, you'll see things come to fruition. Now, many of you know that every now and then I get on Facebook. Not a lot. I may like some of y'all's posts that y'all are doing. I may respond with a happy birthday or a smile or laugh out loud. Some of y'all, when you text me, you're thinking I'm going to send you a big old paragraph. And it's like, amen. That's all you get from me. But the Lord put it on my heart. Some of you that follow me on Facebook, the Lord put it on my heart today to send it out. And I got a lot of people responding that don't attend this church. But they needed prayer. I said, Lord, if you call me into a place of intercession and warring, that's what I'll do. The hardest thing, and I'll just share this with you guys. This is just a nugget. The hardest thing for a prophetic church to do is to receive a glimpse of where they're going. Because once you receive the glimpse of where you're going, you have a hard time wondering when you're going to get there. So I say this to tell you, for those of you that are in the prophetic class, why don't you stand up? You're in my prophetic class. Stand up. Now, one of the things that you're going to experience since the gift has been unlocked in you is you're going to begin to experience some things that you may not like. It may not be very pleasing or soothing to you. It's going to challenge you. It's going to come against you. But that's why he gives you the word first. He may give you a glimpse of where you're going. But what he gives you is further than anybody else. Watch this. Than they can see. Because your gift has been unlocked, you see further. Okay? Now, because it's gone further, the enemy tries everything to stop it in between. Those that don't have the ears or the eyes to see or the inclination of what God is doing, they haven't seen the picture of what God has spoken yet. So their trials don't seem to be as hard, but every trial is different. But those that have seen the glimpse of where you're going, those of you that have received the word from the Lord, you have come against all kinds of hell busting loose in your very life. Have you not? Yes. Have you felt like things are beginning to turn against you? As opposed to being for you. Yes. Know that you're in the right will of God. Yes. Know that he has ordered your steps right on this very path that you're on. Yes. And if you have come under all kinds of attack, know this. It's because you are about to be strengthened in the Lord. And you are about to see the word manifest. When that timing is will be determined upon God, not you. But he will manifest the word in your life. And he will bring to fruition everything he has spoken. And the moment you continue to walk on this path and not quit and take your eyes off, things will turn around for you. But you have to hold on. Hold on. And not let go. Hold on to that word. Yes. Hold on. Because it will come to pass. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Be seated. I began to feel like the enemy was trying to challenge me and tell me that what I'm teaching wasn't truth. You know, we're our own worst critic. You know that, right? Believe me, when I read people talking and giving me praises and stuff, I usually push that aside. I want to hear what Daddy has to tell me first. Because then what you have to tell me is going to be what he tells me. Because if it's not what he tells me and you tell me something different, I love you. Amen. But I got to hear what God says. So when the enemy starts to challenge me, I begin to wonder, what are you really challenging? And today he showed me, he says, I made you preach a message to the body concerning transcending. Remember that? Watched a documentary on a gentleman that was a marathon runner. I knew God was going to give me a message out of it, but I didn't write any notes down when I watched it. Everything came from just the Holy Spirit reminding me about this documentary of this runner. This runner came from Kenya, right down the road from the Cherigani Hills, from where Papa Louis' compound is. It's only a 20-minute drive away. Matter of fact, in the actual video I showed Inez, that's the road that goes to Papa Louis' house. So I remember seeing all that, and I remember hearing that he had won first place in the Boston Marathon. Remember when the bombs went off in Boston? He was there. But he had already passed. When the bombs went off, of course, it was for other people that were coming. He had already passed. He had already won the marathon. So he didn't know what had happened until afterwards. Okay? Well, after he won the Boston Marathon, he was still in training for, there was a Chicago Marathon, New York Marathon was the next one he was training for. And this is what his trainer was saying. You're going to have to transcend past your pain. I told him, did you hear that? So I went to the guide channel, the guide on the satellite real quick. Transcending is the title of it. I said, what? I know I'm hearing from God. So then today, kind of felt like there's something going on. I want to know what's going on, God. And then if y'all read my post today, it was basically that. You may feel like sometimes the road that you're on has all kinds of trials and all kinds of challenges. And many would venture to say that you're not in the will of God. But I believe the truth of the matter is that you're in the very, very place he wants you to be. Because it's going to strengthen you. It's going to build you up. It's going to give you stamina to take you where you never would have been before. It's the hardest thing to go through a trial. It's the hardest thing to even see what you're facing and not see the end. So I want to share with you this message that the Lord gave me this afternoon was transcend past the pain. Turn with me to Philippians 3:7, please. The book of Philippians chapter 3 at verse 7. Philippians 3:7-14 is where we're going to read. And I'm going to read it out of the NIV. And when you have it, please say amen. Philippians 3:7-14. I hear people kind of shuffling around a little bit. I'll wait till you get it. Philippians 3:7-14. All right, I'll begin reading. Verse 7 says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteous that comes from God on the basis of faith. Verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for the most beautiful scripture that has spoken in my now season. God, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that it is the hidden manna that you have for your children. I thank you, God, that you can speak into my circumstance and you can turn things around. And I thank you, God, that I'm not looking at my past. I'm looking towards what you have for me. And even when I only have a glimpse, God, this word tells me I must press. And God, I thank you. I thank you that your word is true yesterday, today, and stands for eternity, that it shall never pass away. I thank you that your word gives me life. It gives hope unto my spirit, man. And I thank you, God, that we sit here tonight believing in this very word. God, I thank you. And all of God's children said amen.
Amen.
I want to share a few things out of the scripture, and then I'm going to let you go home tonight. But I believe that this is going to begin to make sense to where you're going. Maybe not where you're at. I don't know about you. You may have yourself a GPS in your car. Sometimes they just get on your last nerve, do they not? I think they're more lost than I was. So I try to change it to a male's voice, but the male doesn't ever ask for directions. It's always getting me lost, so... So I go and ask Siri, Siri, give me directions. Siri's always lost. So I go to Google. Google sometimes is like, hey, you just lost. We don't always know where we're at or what we're going through. We just know we're going through something. But we don't understand why, do we? How many of you ask that question? Why? Why? Why, oh, why, oh, why? You left me. Oh, wait, that was Greece. I'm sorry. Some of y'all went right there and started seeing that on the screen, the back screen with the hot dog and the bun. Okay, just hey, 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 get back on track. We asked the question, why? Why? And many of the very spiritual elite will tell you, you do not question God. Whatever. How many times have your children come and asked you why? They were programmed to ask why because that's how they learn. We were programmed as sons and daughters of Christ to come in and ask why. Now it's his choice whether to answer you or not. How many of you have had your children, you know, daddy, 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 what? Where are we going? Or remember, Mom, I used to do this to you? Mama, Mom, 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 Mom. When are we leaving? Mom, Mom, when are we leaving? Mom, when are we leaving? And then what is the response? In a minute. So what does that mean to a kid? That means 1 minute. So now I go back in 1 minute. When are we leaving? When are we going? When are we going? In a minute. Mom, when are we going? When are we going? When are we going? Right? We're not getting the answer that I want. I'm going to keep asking. And guess when I get my answer? When we leave. Okay, did you miss that? I made it very simple. God is not going to answer you. He's just going to do. He's just going to do. You may go up the second time or fifth time, 100 times, 250 times. You may go up after 5 years later still. Why? And then when you're going to go pull on that robe? We're there. He doesn't answer, he just does. Maybe people say, well, you don't question God. I question him every minute. And when I get to heaven, if he lets me, I'm going to ask every question that was never answered here. I'm going to find Adam and Eve and I'm going to give them a lot of apples. Here you go. We all have things that we want answered and the only ones that can answer is God. But when he sees fit not to answer you, he's teaching you how to seek him. How to chase after him. How to find him. Can you come up here, Michael? Bring your Bible with you. Bring your Bible with you. Give a scenario. Face the crowd, please. Face the crowd, Ninja Turtle, you. How many of you still do this? Lord, I need a word. Open it up. Uh-huh. What's the word? For thou needs to repent. Oh, no, that's not the one. That's not the one. What's the word? What's the word? Oh, this one's highlighted. What's that one say? Okay, where's the highlight? Okay, there it is. Let's read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you in the righteous path. That's not the one. Let's see. Close it again. Let's see what he's going to say now. Wait, you forgot to pray. Let's see. Father, I need a word. I need instructions, God. Lord, you, and then watch this. We get very spiritual. Lord, you spoke to the high priest, and you spoke to him through the Urim and the Thummim, and then you spoke to him through the breastplate of righteousness, and you spoke and you gave clarity. Speak now, thou, with your word. What's the word? Oh, this one's highlighted too. Let's see.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in all your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation.
Oh, watch this. He's talking about, hey, just confess your sin. I came asking specifically. What do you mean confess my sin? Watch this. Then he says, trust. Trust. How many of you get that all the time when you're asking them?
Do you trust me?
Your Bible's broken. Put it up. Watch. Okay. So it worked when we were growing in God. He would speak to us that way. And you're like, oh my God. And then you start teaching everybody else. You know what you need to do when you need to pray? You need to pray first, and then God's going to speak to you, and then you just open the Bible, and he'll speak to you. You start teaching everybody that, right? So everybody's growing up. Okay. Job. Not that one? Okay. Then you open it up again. Nineveh. Jonah. You're going in the belly of a fish. This Bible's broken. So for all you techies out there, this is what you do now. You open up the Bible app and then you go like this. Yes. Yeah. You scroll up and then you just point to the first book that opens. It don't work the same. Now watch this. Now watch. Y'all are like, yeah, how'd you know? I need it too. We all try to find out what God has to say to us and what's going on right now. But he doesn't tell us. We have to seek. He says we got to knock. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of knocking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you know how I used to get, let me in. Because I get home early. I mean, I was always home early. Always home early. I get home late and I'm knocking the door because she locked me out. Sylvia, let me in. Knocking. Then you get tired, right? Yeah. So then you start using your foot. Yeah, see, I'm not the only one, right? So you're getting tired of knocking, but you keep on knocking, right? Eventually, mom comes and opens the curtain, looking to the side. Uh-huh, ¿quién te manda? ¿Quién te manda? Why'd you go and do it? Who sent you? Why'd you do that? I don't know who Amanda is. Let me in. I'm tired. Why is it not even opening yet? You know, I got to go to work early. And you have me up late hours of the night. Sleep in your car. Oh. I love you. I'll never do it again. Oh, she let me in. She let me in. She loved me.
Love me tender, love me true.
Watch this. But you keep on knocking, right? Does God answer? How many of you like that word, wait upon the Lord? Yeah. Or how about be still? That's like a rebuke, isn't it? Be still. You know I'm a child, right? I don't know how to sit still. And then he says it, and no. Not como que no. No. That I am God. What is he saying? You can ask all you want. You can knock all you want. You can cry all you want. You can get mad all you want. I'm God, and you better know it. That's what he's saying. Right? Now, how come it doesn't work like that anymore? How come the Bible doesn't just open up and it speaks to us no more? Because he wants to teach you how to seek him. Chase him. Then when you find him, become like Jacob and fight. Fight. Wrestle. Hold on. Don't let go. Because it's late in the midnight hour. Something's about to happen. Now, this is what took place. Identity changed. He named him Israel. Israel. Our identity is about to be changed in this season. From the things that were once in the past are no longer going to form you. Why do you think he had me do that whole thing? Roll it up. Roll it up. Don't go back. Don't go back. Forgetting what is behind and straining, pressing toward what is ahead. Well, what is press? Pressing, press, straining. Webster's dictionary says it's a crowd. Steady pushing or thrusting force exerted in contact. A squeeze. To follow through. That's it. This is just press. Seek urgently. Seek urgently. So, okay, so forgetting what is behind and seeking urgently towards what is ahead. Do you see that? Okay, forgetting what is behind and exerting and thrusting force in contact to what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind and pushing and following through while seeking urgently what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Well, he wants you to seek him. He wants us all to continually seek him. Well, Pastor, I thought you were going to talk about that you know, show you were watching. What I is. Here's what I want to let you know. As a runner, let's see here. Let's see. Come on, Triton. Come on, stand over here, Triton. Come here, Triton. I want you to stand right here like you're on the blocks getting ready to take off, okay? Okay. The blocks. You know the blocks. You know the blocks. You know the blocks. Okay. It's okay, but come on over here, Oscar. Press. I got a reason for this. Assume the position. On your mark. On your mark. Watch this. Watch this. Okay. You did it just right. Just the way you had it. Look this. Hold on. A long distance runner between Triton and Oscar. Who has the body built for it? Triton. Okay, sir, I noticed that you had a hard time getting down there. Are you all right? Oh, okay, just there was a little strain, the pressing to get down. Sir, you didn't have a problem getting down there to that position, did you? Why not? Do you stretch or what? Just what is it? Oh, the youth. Is that what it is, youth? Is youth, that's what it is, right, youth? So then in the spirit, our youth is going to allow us to get down. Is that what we're saying? No. Now. Oh, you're ready. Look at you. You're ready. Both of y'all go ahead and stand, please. Stand and face up here. Help them out. Help them out. Okay, watch this. Watch this. Now, have you ever seen the mile runners or stuff, the marathon runners? They're real buff, right? No. They're thin. They're lean. I'm not saying the opposite to the other. What I'm saying is the build, the structure is different, correct? As a marathon runner, watch this, cannot go the distance with extra weight. I didn't say anything derogatory. I just said the difference. Now watch this. Put this in the spirit. If you're going long distances, you don't need to be carrying extra weight with you. Okay. Now, as a marathon runner, you're going to have to stretch more than you would if you were a sprinter. Now, a sprinter, have y'all seen the sprinters, the 100-yard dash? They're skinny, huh? No, they're buff. They're buff. They've got some muscles like muscles. All right? Why? Because all of the energy and all of the force is to drive their feet into the ground to thrust them forward at a fast rate of speed. So the muscles have to be within the legs. You've seen all those sprinters. They have big calves, big old thighs, right? Striking the pose over here. Now watch this. Now, can the marathon runner sprint that fast? Doesn't have the build for it. See, what we got to understand is how we're training in the Lord determines where he's called you to go. Everybody can't train like a sprinter. And not everybody can train like a marathon runner. If you don't know what God has called you to do, you can be mistraining for the thing that God has called you to do. And you've got to know what God has told you to do. Here's the thing. The enemy keeps you from hearing what you're supposed to do. So we just start training. Many of the trainers, okay, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to go to Gold's Gym. How many of you have seen bodybuilders where their top and their arms are huge and they got chicken legs? Yes. Yeah, have you seen that? You seen that? They skip leg day, right? Yep. They don't do it. Everything. Everything's big on top. And chicken leg on the bottom. Because it's out of proportion. True athletes know how to train. If you know that you're going to be doing the mile. Okay, let's say this. You're going to do a marathon. Now, are you going to be eating all kinds of carbs the day before? No. Are you going to be eating all that pizza you like to eat? No. Are you going to be eating all that ice cream you like to eat? No. The hot wings, the steaks and the potatoes and those nachos, you know, those nachos that have that extra, what they call King Kong nachos from Chacho's, you know, has all that cheese, extra cheese, you know, because that's fuel, right? No, that's going to slow you down. That'll slow you down. So what does a runner have to do that's going to do long distance? Has to watch what they put in the body, right? Okay, now, here's the difference. Now, carbs help someone that needs fuel, if you would. So when he's running, he can eat the carbs because that's going to give him an extra push. But if he eats too much of it, it can slow him down. What if he decided to follow his diet? Do you see what I mean? Here's some. Now I can take the spiritual side. You ready? Many people think that they got to follow a prophetic move because they think they're called to the prophetic. When all along they're mistraining and they were called to be a teacher. And what you got past, okay? So what happens is the one that was chasing something that they felt was, oh, this is awesome, this is cool, has been mistraining. That's not what God called them to do. Do you understand? You've got to know what God is calling you to do, how you can train. How do you train? By knowing what God has given you to do. I have many people that I've run across, I'm going to be a pastor. By you saying it that freely, I know that's you and that ain't God. You want to be a pastor? You better learn how to be a father first. You better know how to be a mother first. You'll see it in the fruit of your children, your wife, your husband, your spouse, whatever the case may be. Because if you are not respectful to one, you won't be respectful to the body. You get mistrained. Now, let's go back to starting line. Starting line, starting line. Come on, come on. Come on. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you get down there. No, no, you're good. You're good. Now watch. Triton has the ability for stamina to go long distances. But if he doesn't stretch his muscles, if he doesn't stretch his body, he is not going to be able to handle the load. Same thing. Now, it's the same thing also with the sprinter. Oscar's not going to, if he doesn't stretch, he's going to hurt himself, especially when he's driving all that force to get him more ground at a faster rate of speed. Well, that stretching is the stretching in faith as well. If we don't stretch, we're not going to be limber enough or pliable enough in the spirit so that this way God can make changes and alterations to where he has us going. So that's why he has to stretch your faith. He has to stretch your faith. We think just because we got faith to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's all the faith we're going to need. And just because I'm saved now, that's all I need. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. And we have people stuck on the starting line, not getting any further because they think once they get saved, that's it. Oh, he's going to stretch your faith. You may be facing some opposition right now because he's stretching you. Now, do you know why we stretch? Why do we stretch? Why do we stretch?
Pull a muscle, maybe.
Pull a muscle? What else?
You get oxygen to your muscles.
Ooh, what you say? You were going to say that one. You were going to say that. Now watch. Now watch. Both are correct. One, so you don't pull a muscle. You don't strain a muscle. Just like in faith. If your faith isn't stretched enough and you're not getting in the word, getting in his presence, you will get hurt doing the thing that God has called you to do. Because you're not training your spirit to learn what he's been wanting you to learn. 40 years they were in the wilderness. It only took them a few days to cross if they had listened. They didn't stretch. They just stayed where they were at, that old mindset. How many of you have been challenged in the ways of thinking? Especially coming here. Come in here, I'll stretch you. I'll make you think you think you're very religious. Yeah. You're still in the grave. He's trying to get us up and out of that religious mindset. What does he do? He stretches our faith. He stretches our belief so that this way we can go further. Now, stretching is great. It helps us. Now, timing. Timing is so crucial. Now, in this particular, since you're the marathon runner now, okay, marathon runners, guess what they have to do? They have to pace themselves. They have to pace themselves. So, you know, how marathon runners, they just because they're skinny, and they're in shape, have the build, they stretch. But if they don't work on their timing, they're just going to be stretched, skinny, ready. But if they don't work on their timing, they're always going to be stuck in that same place. So they have to learn how to time themselves on their laps. Right? Okay. Guess what a sprinter's going to do? The same thing. They're going to go all out. to try to beat every increment of time that they can to build that type of stamina for short distances. Now, here I'm talking to you about track runners and this and that. Here's what I want to share with you guys to sit down. Thank you. I want you to follow along if you would. Give them a hand clap if you would. Yes, great job. Great job. The timing is crucial to us as our runners. We're just like a runner in the race. If we don't pace ourselves in the thing that God has called us to do, we'll hit burnout so fast. And when we hit burnout, you're not going to be effective to anybody. You're just going to hit burnout, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to quit because you didn't prepare yourself for the long duration. And when you're in the kingdom of God, it's not a fast race. When you think that you've crossed the finish line, that's only one lap down. You better keep going. And you never celebrate before you cross that finish line. I've watched on YouTube. I've watched on some of the races. This one girl, she was running. She was beating everybody. And she started celebrating before she got to the finish line. Came in third. Because the other two passed her right up. You never celebrate too soon because you can miss it. Timing is of the essence when you're running the race. You have got to pace yourself. In this particular documentary I was watching of this runner, the coach was telling him, you've got to run hard, and each time that you come to this lap, it's 1 mile. You're going to take a 1 minute rest, 3 minute rest, and then you're going to go again. You're going to go hard. You're going to beat that last time you did. He was building his stamina. Trained him so hard. He did everything that he was doing was great. When he ran this race, this was the race that he was supposed to win because he got first place last time. He came in fifth. But he trained even harder. He trained harder. He increased his time. And he still came in. He came in fifth. It's very good for a marathon runner. But that's not what he was training for. He was training to be first again. That's why the scripture says, forgetting what is behind. You've got to even forget your successes. Just because you came in first place on the last marathon doesn't mean that you're going to come in first place again. And even when you're training as hard as you're training, that doesn't guarantee you a win. So I'll continue watching the documentary because it's about transcending past the pain. And this coach kept telling him, you gave up. Because the pain was too hard. You gave up. So he said, I'm not going to coach you no more. He says, I'm trying. He says, once you get past the pain where you can't no more, something inside of you pushes you to the next level. And then you realize you went further than what you thought you could do. So when you transcend past the pain, you step into something that you've never experienced before. This is from the actual documentary. So he goes back to Kenya. Now he's running for office. And matter of fact, just remember that when they were having all the elections right before we went, this story, he read the papers about it. They're having these elections. He goes back to Kenya. He came in fifth. He goes, you know what? I want to go see my wife. I want to go see my kids. I'm going to go back to Kenya. So he goes back to Kenya. He misses his country. He misses his people. So he starts running for office. He's not training. He's just running for office. So he winds up winning the candidacy for government there. And then they invite him to go back to Boston to run. So he goes. He hadn't been training. These guys have been running hundreds of miles a week. He'd only been running, 50, 60 miles whenever he could. He did better this time than the last time because he pressed through the pain and he didn't have that stress, that added weight. And he passed that point where he couldn't go no more and he pushed himself and he got a whole new surge of energy. New surge of just stamina that he didn't know was there. When you think your tank is empty, If you push a little bit harder, you'll find there's more inside of you. So he pressed and he went through. Not only did he press, he did his best time ever. His best time. Find it interesting how timing in everything you're training for, even the timing, is not his timing. But you still have to press and you still have to train. Now, as a runner, what equipment do they use? Just tennis shoes, right? If they're on the track, yes. But if they're out in a marathon, they're just using tennis shoes. So light t-shirts, light shorts. And they're just, that's it, right? So no equipment is needed for where you're going. Matter of fact, most of the Kenyans and most of the Africans, they really run barefooted. But on the street, they have to wear shoes, right? So what are the shoes are going to do for you? Well, the shoes are going to absorb most of the shock, right? So where does the enemy usually attack you? On your walk? He usually comes after your walk to try to stumble you, make you fall, make you trip over some things. Now, the shoes are there to absorb the shock from your feet. So what is the shoes? The shoes is the presence of God that's going to help you to absorb all the shock that is coming your way in this thing that you're pressing towards. It's going to protect your knees. It's going to protect your back. It's going to protect your hips. But it's not going to win the race. It's only there to help you. Now, I don't know about you, but Michael Jordan did a commercial. Remember that way back in the day? And he had, was it Spike Lee? Said, money is the shoes. It's the shoes. Man, you know, you think Michael Jordan just used shoes so that he could jump that high? You know, because my mom used to buy me these shoes all the time. And the shoes that she would buy me, I swore they were tracks. I don't know about the tracks, but they were the black ones. And they had the white stripes on the side. And then they had that big old rubber piece on the very front and front and the back. They were, I think, $5 or something like that. You got to check the sizes because sometimes they're off. But, hey, tracks were made so that you can run faster, jump higher, and kick the kickball a lot further. It's all about the shoes, right? Well, to a runner, the runner's like, the shoes ain't doing nothing for me. Everything that is coming from inside of me. So the thing that needs to be worked on the most is the lungs, the lung capacity. And what I want to share with you about the lungs need to be stretched. They need to be stretched beyond its normal capacities to enable the runner to press on. To press on. How many of you feel like the enemy's hit you in the gut and you lost your breath? Now, when I used to play football and we'd, you know, get knocked, you know, the air knocked out, they used to do the most stupidest thing. We asked the coach, why'd you do that? They would reach into your... And lift up the belt, and it kind of, hey. Yeah. Remember that? They lift up the belt, and they're lifting you up off the ground. It's like, hey. Yeah. He didn't do nothing. What you need is air back in your lungs. I was wondering, why wouldn't they do that? And the coaches said, well, everybody else used to do it, so we do it. Trainers used to do it, too. So they realized something. What you need to do is stand them up, have their arms up in the air. And what it does, it expands the lungs, and then the air gets in. Trying to lift them up off the ground. They're like a basketball. They're so the lungs are very important. The lungs to you in the spirit is your prayer life. Expand your prayer life. Stretch your prayer life. Get into prayer. There's where God is going to breathe into you. And when he breathes into you, he's going to allow you to go past that point of no return. You thought for sure, oh, that's it, I'm done, I can't do it. He's just going to breathe a little life into you. And you'll be able to do it. You got to understand something, that God is trying to get us to participate. In verse 10, it says, participate in all things, even the suffering. We've got to suffer a little bit. It's going to stretch us. Not only is it going to stretch us, it's going to make us a better person. Verse 12, not that it was... or has been obtained or even arrived. Even though you're working hard and you're training, you're doing everything you're supposed to do. And even when you think you've arrived, oh, I got here. Watch this. I got a mega church now. Oh, get ready. It's a whole different level of attack. You've never arrived until you get to glory with Jesus. Amen. You understand? you keep pressing towards the mark. In verse 13, forgetting what is behind, past failures as well as success. The runner cannot look at the last race and say, I'm going to be in that same standing in this next race. You've got to continually train like this is the last race of your life. And when you do that, you got to understand that everything that God has told you to do and everything that you're being challenged in right now, work as hard as you can. What does the Bible say? That I have given you the power to obtain what? Wealth. It's not going to rain from heaven. It's not just going to grow in the backyard on a special tree only for you. He's giving you the power. And many people think that power is going and getting a job. For some it is. For others, it's your prayer life. That he begins to reveal to you how he's going to bring it. And not only is he going to reveal to you in your prayer life, in your praise and in your worship, the extending of your lungs and adoration to him while you're opening your mouth and saying yes to you, God, and no to myself. Yes to your gain and no to the personal gain. Yes to everything you have for me and no to the things that I think I desire. Everything that you have for me, God, I want. And it's so hard to receive it because we think we're not worthy. Well, he's given us everything here on earth. Everything. But what happens is our mindset comes in and makes us feel like we can't have it. I got sin in my life. You don't know, I was looking at that lady the other day. I just, you know, just role playing, babe. So I sinned. Well, the lady that cut me off today, you know, I waved at her hello. Right? So we think because we mess up like that. Oh, those aren't the big ones? Okay. What about the ones where we just choose not to give our tithe? Or we just choose not to forgive our brothers and sisters? Or we just choose not to forgive our own family members? We choose not to forgive, you know, Sister So-and-so because, you know, she walked in and she just looked at me funny and I've had enough of that. Y'all are laughing because y'all experienced it. Isn't that something? You get to church where it's supposed to be a safe place, a family place, but everybody look at you up and down. All right? Yeah, look out here. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. We're in church. Yep. Isn't it crazy? When you're out in the world, what they do, and they look at you up and down, they're about to compliment you. And it's some nice shoes. Hey, you got a nice, what's a nice blouse? What? Or they're going to tell you to your face, you got no business wearing that. But in church, you're like, hey, God bless you. Did you see Sister So-and-so? Did you see? Yeah. Had one gold earring and one silver earring. Silver and gold. Right. I don't wear those. But when you come to church, guys, and this is for all of us. We all need to mature in this. We start kind of minimizing what church is about. It's not about your neighbor. It's not about your children acting up a fool. It's not about what pastor's wearing, not wearing, whether it's iron, not iron, we got new boots, whatever. Well, it's not even about what pastor's about to go and buy. Examples. Right, y'all are like, what, pastor, what are you going to buy? You know, what it's about is you coming to worshiping him. Amen. And when we get to church, and this generalities, guys, when you get to church, it's supposed to be the worship to Jesus. But we get it so twisted and we think it's about, okay, how many people didn't come today? Oh, did you know Sister So-and-so hasn't showed up? She didn't even call. She didn't even tell me about this. I got to adjust this and I got to adjust that. You know what? We missed it. You get to church and worship the King. Now, the more the worship goes up, guess what comes down? Instructions, word, clarity, and it's released. So why do you think the enemy comes in during praise and worship? He comes in to get you so messed up
that the worship doesn't go up. That's why it's very important. What does the Bible say? Don't even bring your sacrifice unto me if you got aught against your brother. You better go make it right. What is he saying? If you haven't forgiven your brother that offended you or whatever, you better go make it right. Don't even bring your sacrifice of praise, worship, or your giving, because I won't receive it. That's what the Bible says. But you know how many people still walk out? They walk out tonight. I ain't saying I'm sorry. I ain't do nothing wrong. They need to apologize to me. You know how it is? And then they walk out and they say, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. You don't know? No, I've been praying and fasting. I'm going to do an outreach, knocking on doors. I've been going to feeding the homeless. I'm doing everything. But the one thing that he told you to do, you were not doing. Forgive your brother. Forgive your sister. Forgive your pastor. For those on the podcast, I'm helping you out, pastors. Pastors, forgive your congregation. Just because... Never mind. Listen, I know it's getting late. You can go ahead and close off the recording.